I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. La 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 la. And I won't be laughing at the lies when I'm gone. Can't question how, oh, when or why when I'm gone. Can't live proud enough to die when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. There's no place in this world where I'll belong when I'm gone. I won't know the right from the wrong when I'm gone. You won't find me singing on this song when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here.
WIOX is supported by Qualteri's Nursery and Garden Center on Route 30 in Roxbury, observing social distancing 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, landscaping. Qualteri's Nursery and Garden Center, Route 30 in Roxbury, 607-326-4282. 607-326-4282. WIOX is supported by Oakley's Wood-Fired Pizza and Grill on Route 28 in Arkville. Open Wednesday through Sunday, 12 noon to 8 p.m. for takeout only. Soup, salad, sandwiches, burgers, wings, and of course, Oakley's wood-fired pizza. 845-586-3474. 845-586-3474. WIOX is supported by Rick's Tire Service, family-owned and operated on State Route 30 between Roxbury and Grand Gorge. Tires, mounting, and wheel balancing for cars, trucks, lawn, garden, farm, and construction vehicles. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 till noon. More information at 800-LG Tires. 800-LG Tires.
Hi, I'm Gail Lindstrom, host of Playtime, part of The Writer's Voice, where we explore the world of local theater every other Tuesday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WIOX Roxbury, community radio live and local in New York's Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM, MTC Cable Channel 20, and WIOXradio.org.
Thank you. All right. You're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a forest-related topic with Ryan and John. And this is WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and MTC Cable Channel 20. And everywhere at WIOXradio.org, where it's easy to donate if you like what you hear. You can also get WIOX on any smart device through the FM radio apps. How's it going, John?
Things are good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Nice. I've been seeing a lot of fawns this spring.
Have you?
Yeah. I feel like it's more than normal. I don't know why, but...
Yeah.
Just around.
Yeah, I've seen some fawns. I saw a fisher.
Really?
A couple days ago on Dingle Hill, down to Bandy's.
Rarer sighting there.
Crossing very slowly.
Wow. So, yeah. So did you get a good look?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I was kind of surprised it was a fisher, because I was like, oh, that's a slow animal crossing the road. Oh, it's a fisher. No, he wasn't in a rush. So,
yeah. I saw a meat-eating woodchuck. That was a first.
Oh, yeah? What was he eating?
A cat.
A cat? What are you talking about?
It was dead in the road, and driving up on it, and I was like, wow, there's a mammal there. It's definitely eating something. I get closer, and there, it's what it was. It was a woodchuck eating on a cat that had been hit by a car in the road.
That's crazy.
So I've seen woodchucks in trees now. I saw a woodchuck eating apple flowers in an apple tree once. Actually, it was a hawthorn. And now I've seen one eating meat. So weird animals. Learn more about them every day.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Huh. Well, I saw a woodchuck up in an apple tree once. Sitting there looking at me.
Me too, once.
Yeah. Apparently they eat buds or something.
I think flowers. That's the one I saw was in the spring. I think it was eating flowers. It was in a hawthorn tree.
Yeah, he wouldn't move, talking to the member and right next to it, underneath it, and it just refused to move. That was fine. But I don't know. All that I've been doing is injecting ash trees to kill the pesky little emerald ash borer. So that's about it.
I've been running the CFA's sawmill.
Yeah.
Yep. We milled up a whole bunch of sycamore yesterday. Today it was mostly white ash, but sycamore's cool, man. I got to tell you, you get the quarter sawn sycamore,
yeah.
There's this ray flecking that shines through, kind of like white oak does. But anyone able to look up on a computer or whatever, look up a picture of that, it's gorgeous wood. It almost looks like a tigering or maybe like a speckling darkness, but with a bright whitish-yellow wood behind it.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous.
Coincidentally, I saw one yesterday.
Really?
I was at a member's property in the town of Andes over on Dingle Hill, and the guy's entertainment system was made out of sycamore.
And you saw what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Isn't it different?
Yeah, I can't. It looks like spalted tiger-like. I don't know. It's
hard
weird.
Very hard to describe, but
yeah.
We did some really big slabs. We did some smaller, mostly quarter sawn, and then flat sawed a lot of it just because he had another project in mind. Not all of it was going to produce anything nice. So.
Yeah.
But the biggest logs, yeah, we got some really cool lumber out of it.
Yeah. The only thing I've noticed so far in the woods going on, noticed some dieback on white pines. Have you noticed browning here and there?
From the end of the needles back in?
Yeah, I don't know what that's about yet. We'll see. I'm sure we'll get phone calls here shortly.
Yep, I saw that last week in Schoharie County.
Yeah. So I don't know what that's about. You know what? Let's not talk about trees that have problems. There's some trees out there that don't have problems.
What?
Black birch.
That's true.
Smooth bark hickory. Sugar maple, when it's not an old tree near a road that's getting salted and compacted, it doesn't really have many issues. The forest tent caterpillar usually just kills off the ones that are in poor condition anyway. So I'll add that to the list.
I think, if sugar maple is so picky anyway. So yeah. if it's found a good site, it's taken off.
Shag bark and smooth bark hickory, they have no problems right now. Red oak, in our area, not so much in other areas, seems to be doing fine as long as it has enough sunlight. Years ago, there was a two-line chestnut borer that was doing some damage to it, and there was some dieback. But sometimes this dieback is just caused from limited sunlight. So,
Well, but now there's oak wilt. We don't have it here in the Catskills. No. Or even much at all in New York State. Spot on Long Island maybe once?
I think the Finger Lakes area had it.
Yeah.
I just went to a conference on it. And is that the one where you have to trench around the roots because it spreads throughout the roots, I believe? I always confuse oak wilt with the other one. That's pretty bad, and I'm embarrassed to say I can't remember it. For some reason, my brain just hits delete every time they mention that disease. But you trench the roots. The DEC comes in and actually builds a trench between the trees so it doesn't spread and root graft to other oak trees.
Wow.
And it affects, I think it affects white oaks more than red oaks, but I can't remember. One of the oaks it affects more. So
I think that one's news to me. I haven't heard of it.
Actually, it might be red oak more than white oak.
That's not good.
That makes sense because I think the wood is different, the porous versus non-porous, they think, but I don't know. So
black birch, sugar maple.
Yeah. Red maple. You can add red maple to it. You know?
What about
black gum? Black gum doesn't have anything. Yellow or tulip poplar.
Tulip poplar, yep.
Yeah. Evergreens are taking a hit. A lot of them have issues. Spruces, Norway, blue. They have issues right now. White pine, hemlock, of course. So,
well, we've been talking for 3 years now about a dry spring, and I think we finally achieved that. It started off pretty damp and wet, but
yeah,
it dried right out. So hopefully that kills off some of this fungus problem we've been having.
We could actually use a little rain. The apples trees right now are looking good. My leaves are not diseased. Knock on wood.
Saw apple scab in Delhi in a consultation. Actually, Meredith.
Yeah.
So a little fungal problem there, but
yeah, I mean, it's always going to happen, right? I mean, there's some chewing of the leaves, you know. That's usually caterpillars, stuff like that.
Yep.
But I don't know. I haven't noticed too much different, but sycamore has issues. Usually it'll get a anthracnose, which is just a fancy term for leaf disease. And I noticed anthracnose, I thought, on sycamores where they look like they're dying back. They'll refoliate and they'll be fine.
That happened this year again?
It looks like. I thought I saw that on a few.
I've seen it twice now, and I wasn't sure if it was problems from last year's anthracnose or if it happened again.
It happened definitely the last 2 years, and I wouldn't be surprised about this year.
Okay.
I don't know.
So I've definitely seen something going on with sycamore.
Yeah. Other than that, what's another healthy tree? Healthy tree. I don't know. Ash is gone. You know? Beech is terrible. So it's not. Yeah, birches are good. Birches are still good.
Isn't that sad? It's harder to find a non-diseased tree in our vocabulary than it is.
Hickory is doing well, though. No, I mean, that's some of the tallest trees out there is smooth bark, or some might call it pignut hickory. But that tree's doing well. Shagbark doesn't get as big, usually. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. with Ryan and John. Tonight's topic is understanding a forest through trees. So what we're going to attempt tonight is to kind of tell the story of a forest, a typical forest you might find in the Catskills, and try to see if you can understand how to age it out by looking at the trees there and kind of gain an insight into the past of that forest by looking at the trees. We're not going to go into terrain or stone walls or cultural things as much. We've done that in the past. The radio show called Reading the Forested Landscape with a professor, I think he's from New Hampshire or Vermont. One of those states up there. Tom Wessels. He wrote a book called Reading the Forested Landscape, or Forest Forensics, if you want. And that's a radio show that you can find at Catskill Forest Association's website on our archive. But tonight, we're going to stick strictly to the trees. Okay? You know what I'm saying here, John?
I'll follow along.
You going to follow along?
No, I'm just kidding.
You got to help me out.
I will help you lead.
No, we'll keep it simple. We're going to break it down. So there you go. But recently, I was walking, well, like I usually do. I usually go for road walks just because I have the time for that. And, you know, you can look on the side of the road and look into the forest and see what's going on. So, but there's some things you need to know before we look at an example. And this example I'm going to talk about is one that's in Shandaken in Ulster County off of Route 28. But first you need to know a little bit about identifying trees, right? So if you don't know how to identify trees, you know, please attend a woods walk or a tree identification class, maybe with the Catskill Forest Association or something. It's really difficult to do if you can't identify trees.
Yeah, we also offer consultations, so we can come out to your property and teach you about the trees that you have on your land.
Yeah, that's the best way, because you're going to see those trees, hopefully, every day. And there's nothing better than redundancy in learning about identifying trees.
That's right.
So, tree identification. The next thing is canopy stratums. You're like, what the hell is canopy stratum? A canopy stratum is just heights. So there are different layers within a forest. Usually there's two or three layers in a forest. Trees of similar height or canopy stratums. All right? And there's a big misconception in forestry that diameter means that the trees are older. It can, because it does take some given time to grow wood. Right? A tree needs some time to get fat, but height is actually a better indicator of age, especially when trees are the same species. So if you see two sugar maples, and one is 10 inches in diameter, and the one next to it is 20 inches in diameter, look up at their heights, and if they're within 10 feet of their height, they're the same age. You know? One's just getting more sunlight, and maybe growing in a slightly better site. It's just growing faster. If you were to cut that tree down, the rings would just be further apart or wider.
It grew faster. It had the energy to do so. It probably has a better better crown. But you don't even have to know tree ID. I mean, Ryan said sugar maple, but as long as you can identify and say, yes, those two are definitely the same species because of some characteristics that I can look at and see right away, whether I know the name of that species or not. I mean, that'll get you started at least.
Even of different species, if they're the same height, they're probably the same age. I'm not going to say always. These are real generalities we're going to talk about tonight.
At least in the Catskills with some of our land use history.
Yeah. So what we call that, trees of similar heights or canopy stratums, is what would you call layers in the forest or a cohort. That's what you would call it in forestry. A cohort is trees that share similar age or height. Okay, so canopy stratums. So again, larger trees are deceivingly believed to be older, and a lot of times they're not, or they're the same age. And the last thing we're going to talk about tonight is shade tolerances. Very important. So,
yeah, you just have to know right away, and maybe you can relate this back to gardening if you have a garden or something. Different trees of different species can tolerate more or less shade than others. Some can't tolerate shade at all. Some can grow in the understory, waiting for that tree above it to give out and for that hole of sunlight to arrive, and then it shoots up into it. That can happen in your garden too. I mean, there's some things that you can grow at the edges, or you can't grow tomatoes in the shade. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have a really shade intolerant tree, like say Eastern Red Cedar, and this could fool people because it might be actually shorter in height. But, you know, if it's a dead tree in the understory, it probably grew first and the forest grew around it and above it. But that's we're not going to get into that. That'll confuse people maybe. How can you tell what's going on? First, you need to know tree identification. The second thing is canopy stratums or heights. You know? And the third is shade tolerances. Right? So we got that, John?
I got it.
All right. Okay. All right, let's move on. Well, let me just say this before we move on, though, about shade tolerances. If you know the tree's shade tolerances, you can tell, you know, how big of a disturbance. I mean, if you have aspen, tells you what? What does that tell you?
Full sunlight, not long ago.
Yeah. If you have nothing but hemlock and sugar maple, not always.
Still could have been disturbed not that long ago, or it could be an older forest that's now shaded out that aspen that once grew there.
Yeah. Again, there's exceptions to every rule, but you know, if there's a lot more shade tolerance than there is shade intolerance, then there's probably less disturbance in the very recent past, 30, 40 years. Okay, so we'll look at an example when we return about in Ulster County, and we'll go right through the process.
Sometimes late when things are real and people share the gift of gab between themselves. Some are quick to take the bait and catch the perfect prize that waits among the shells. But Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. And cause never was the reason for the evening or the Tropic of Sir Galahad. So please believe in me when I say I'm spinning round, 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 round. Smoke glass stained bright cup, image going down, 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 down. That he didn't already have. And cause never was the reason for the evening or the Tropic of Sir Galahad. So please believe in me when I say I'm spinning round, 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 round. Smoke glass stained bright cup, image going down, down. That he didn't already have. And cause never was the reason for the evening or the Tropic of Sir Galahad. So please believe in me.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. And Ryan and John. I almost didn't make it back.
Man.
I don't know. Someone called. I had to pick it up. They kept calling. So anyway, I'll pass along his message. But we are trying to go through aging out of forests by looking at the trees. It's not easy. But there's some things you need to know. One, I'll reiterate again, is tree identification. Canopy stratums, what are the heights of the trees, and shade tolerances. All right, let's do it, right?
All right, so what do you got, an example of a forest you saw?
So I was walking, and I'm looking on the side of the road, and it's just a game I like to play. Like, hey, what happened in this woods here? So I'm looking on the side, and there are tree sizes ranging from poles. Poles are trees that are about 4 to 10 inches in diameter. Right? Okay, there's those trees. And then there's trees upwards of 25 inches and more. So there's big, fat sugar maples growing. And they're about 80 foot tall and dying back big. and, you know, fat sugar maple scattered throughout, okay? Then underneath those, let's see. Then underneath those, you have trees that are growing about 10 to, oh, I don't know, 20 inches in diameter at the same height as the sugar maples. You understand what's going on? Let me say that again.
There's three stratums.
All right, so let's back up. We have big, fat sugar maples, 25 inches in diameter. I'm not going to attempt to read this paper because I know what it looks like. I'm trying to read a paper and say it. It's not going to happen. So, big, fat sugar maples, 25 inches in diameter, 80 feet tall.
Few of them, though.
Few of them, scattered throughout.
Okay.
Right? Then, at the same height, you have trees that are about 10 inches to 20 inches, nice saw log trees. Trees that would make a logger be like, yeah, I want to cut those trees. Not the 10-inch ones, but the ones 14 to 20 inches are nice. And those are red oak and black cherry.
Okay.
And white pine and some hickory. Okay? Same height, but smaller in diameter than the sugar maple.
Got it.
And they're like saw log size. Okay. Beneath those, growing from like 10 to 40 feet, are trees that are pretty small in diameter, 4 to 10 inches, right?
Sugar maple, I
guess. Maple, black birch, you know, and that's maybe some hemlock. So they're a mid-story.
So how big were these scattered, large-diameter sugar maple? Were they big, wolfy trees, or were they growing straight?
Big wolfy trees.
Okay, so you want me to take my crack at what I think happened?
No, okay. Not yet. Okay. Not yet.
I thought this was a puzzle.
Well, it is. It is. It is.
I have a theory.
Let's go through each step, though.
Okay.
Otherwise, the show's over, John.
All right.
We have like a half hour left, you know? You're killing me. All right, so I think you already know what's going on. All right, so 25-inch trees, fat sugar maples, all right? Mid-sized trees... you have trees in the same height as those. Red oak, hickory, and black cherry. Same height, but a little smaller in diameter. Then you have mid-sized trees growing from 10 to 30 feet. And those are your black birch, your sugar maple, your red maple, your white ash. And then underneath that are some saplings of, like, maple.
Sounds like a healthy forest you're in.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Not too bad. Okay? All right. So, canopy stratums, or tree height, right? Again, that's the height of trees in the forest, and sometimes they're different species and sometimes they're not. Again, the tallest trees are roughly 80 feet tall. You have your sugar maple, black cherry, red oak, white pine, and smooth bark hickory. They're all growing at the same height, all right? So they start from 10 inches to 25 inches plus. The sugar maples, remember, have died back. They're not looking so good. All right. I already said this. Mid-size, blah, blah, blah. All right. So you got that, John?
I got it.
So there's about three age classes in there.
I even drew a picture to visualize it.
You drew a picture? Are you kidding me?
No, I didn't. But somebody could, and it might help them out.
Yeah, all right. All right. So let's see here. Trees of similar height, same. Remember, the trees of similar height are the same age, right? Known as cohorts. I already explained that. This is a three-age forest since there's three different heights. Okay? So who are the oldest right off the bat?
Scattered, dying back, large sugar maple.
Right. Why? Because they are the tallest. So we know right off the bat they have to be the oldest.
Right. Also, they are the largest diameter doesn't mean that they are the oldest right away, but if they're so much bigger than the rest, like you said earlier, they needed time to get that diameter. So
yeah,
it gives them an extra push towards age.
Right. I mean, you know, to illustrate our point on that, sometimes you'll see a sycamore. There's one in Hurley that I'm thinking about. It's huge. It's got to be 60 inches in diameter, but it's been growing out by in the open for its whole life. So it could be less than 100 years. I mean, it could be growing so fast.
Another great example, a member of ours showed us a stump of a hybrid poplar in Margaretville. He planted it in 1980 or 82.
Yeah.
Then he cut it in 2018, I think he said.
Yep.
It must have been 18 to 20 inches in diameter. And there was one next to it. It was tall. So we got to see how big it actually was.
Right.
So that was only 40 years old.
Yeah, totally.
35, yeah.
That's crazy. That's a tree on steroids. So, all right. So the sugar maple, are the highest, tallest cohort, and they're fat, they're tall, so that let's just say that they're probably the oldest trees. At the same height but smaller diameter are mostly nut trees and fruit trees. A fruit tree, a black cherry, the same tree that you use for cherry flooring, is still a fruit tree. But you have those squiggling through the canopy, right? Then you have smooth bark hickory growing nice and straight. You have red oak, beautiful red oak in this stand, right?
Yep. They might be more dominant, right?
Yeah. And you have some white pine. Yeah, the red oak is doing the best out of everyone.
Yeah, bigger crowns, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
So that's two age classes right there. Actually, that's two age classes, right? Because the big sugar maple are the oldest.
Right.
Right, and then we have this sawlog cohort at the same height. So I might actually be reneging on. It might be a four-age stand by the time we're done. But anyway, okay. Then you have a mid-story beneath that, growing from 10 to 40 feet. And these are your black birch, your red maple, some sugar maple, eastern hemlock, and white ash. And what do they all share?
The shade tolerance.
Yeah.
The youngest, rather.
Yeah, so the last to grow. Right, so we know that they're younger because they're shorter. And almost all the time, they're going to be shade-tolerant trees because they're growing underneath the canopy. So black birch, you know, you go online and you look up the shade tolerance of black birch, and they'll say it's like shade intolerant on some sites. No way. In the Catskills, that thing is shade-tolerant.
Yeah, you go through, it's usually a good site, but someone maybe did a high-grading cut and just a tree blew down in the forest. There's just that tiny little hole that came through even the dense hemlock stand. Almost always it's got a black birch growing up through it.
Yeah.
And nothing else is going to grow. On a north-facing slope, you know, things like that.
And then on the forest floor, growing like saplings, which is becoming extremely rare in the Catskills, there might be some really shade-tolerant trees like sugar maple growing. American beech was not in the stand, but typically you'll find it. Very shade-tolerant. Most time you don't have understory trees growing, you know, from on the ground to 5 feet because of deer, right? And the only thing that seems to grow are things that are, you know, prickly or something like barberry or whatever.
So there's no doubt there's four different.
Yeah.
If those saplings make it.
If they make it. They're probably not going to be around the next year. So that's why I was focusing probably on three age classes. So
sure.
Fat old sugar maple scattered. You have the sawlog, oak, and hickory, and pine, and there was some aspen I left out, and cherry, in that sawlog stage cohort. And then underneath that, you have a midstory. Trees grown, you know, 40 feet tall or less to 10 feet, and, you know, they're the size of a pole of your shade tolerances. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., and tonight we're trying to understand a forest through merely looking at the trees, which sounds kind of weird, but that's what we're doing.
For many days we traveled from a distant place and time, to reach a place they call the planet Earth. There was to be a celebration on the mission of the Sacred Heart. The planet Earth from way up there is beautiful and blue, and floating softly through a rainbow. But when you touch down, things look different here at the mission of the Sacred Heart. I'm watching all the days grow by. Who are you and who am I? How's life on earth?
Just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. with Ryan and John. Talk about a different forest-related topic. Tonight, we're talking about how to tell what happened in a forest by just looking at the trees and nothing really else. So, I'm going to be a little redundant, but we covered canopy stratums. So, we're looking at a forest. First, canopy stratums are some of the best ways to tell the age of different trees. The tallest ones are normally the oldest. And the forest we're looking at it as an example has about three different canopy stratums. The tallest and the fattest are big sugar maples scattered throughout. And at the same height are trees about 14 inches to 20 inches in diameter, saw log trees of oak, hickory, cherry, aspen, white pine. And beneath that is a midstory of black birch and hemlock and sugar maple. And there's some saplings, but not too many. And those are mostly maple. The deer are eating most of those. So we're not as concerned about that because it's not really existing. So shade tolerances. What can they tell us? First, we need to define shade intolerant versus shade tolerant versus shade intermediate. Somewhere in between.
Whoa.
For the most part, generally speaking, these are generalities. We don't only have so much time here. But fruit and nut trees tend to be shade intermediate to shade intolerant trees. So oak, hickory, we used to have chestnut, black cherry. Those are shade intermediate to shade tolerant trees. If you have those growing in your woods, most likely there was a recent disturbance sometime in the past 50 years. Or whenever they started growing, at least, right? If you have aspen, which are not a fruit or nut tree, or paper birch, which is also not a fruit or nut tree, that does indicate mass disturbance of some kind.
Right. They needed full sunlight just to sprout.
Right. Paper birch should not be confused with black birch or yellow birch. Of the birches, paper birch is extremely shade intolerant. So the more shade intolerances you have, some kind of disturbance went on. If you have a stand of aspen, that means you're looking at a recently abandoned pasture or a beaver meadow that got abandoned, you know, something like that.
Right.
Parking lot that was a parking lot.
You'll never find an apple orchard in the woods. No right. farmer is going to invest in that, right? Can't happen.
If you do find one in the woods, it's because there's trees growing around it, and the apple trees are not going to be with us in the next few decades because they're going to get shaded out. So something like that. And as you find more shade tolerances, again, generally speaking, sometimes shade tolerance will come in after an abandoned field, but usually not as often, but sometimes so. But, you know, maple, beech, yellow and black birch, hemlock, those things are you know, shade tolerant trees. So another tree that was shade intermediate or so is white pine. Its other common name is called old field pine. So if you have white pine growing, some kind of disturbance happened. White pine is very similar to oak. You'll find oak and pine together a lot. And something happened, whether it was a fire or farm abandonment or just a very intense logging job, which is rare to, because most logging jobs around here don't give enough sunlight, you know, for that. So let's just name a few trees. I'm going to reiterate again. Shade intolerant trees: wild apple, black cherry, aspen, paper birch. Those trees are very shade intolerant. You see that? Something must have happened pretty big. Shade intermediate: red oak, smooth bark hickory, white pine, American chestnut. All right, those are in between. Shade tolerant trees, which is what most of our forest is. And most of our forest, a lot of people don't maybe realize this, a lot of our forest is becoming shade tolerant because we really don't have that many disturbances in our woods as we used to compared to the 19th century. So sugar maple, red maple, American beech, black birch, yellow birch, and even white ash. Now, white ash is kind of weird because it'll grow in the shade. I mean, it's kind of like a weedy tree. It'll grow right through the middle of a rhododendron bush or right through the canopy of an apple tree. But then as it gets older, it'll start to drop lower branches because it becomes less tolerant of shade as it ages. That's kind of weird. White pine's similar like that. But when it starts out, it's a very shade-tolerant tree.
Yeah, you see it all the time underneath itself.
Yeah.
When the deer aren't just completely hammering everything. But, yeah, it'll be there all the time.
Yeah, the deer, it's medium preference on the deer browse index, and it's shade tolerant. So that's why you get a lot of white ash. American beech is extremely shade tolerant, and deer don't like to eat it. And if they are, that means they're dumpster diving. But that's why you find a lot of that in places. So let's put it all together. The taller ones, taller trees within a forest are normally the older ones. They're older than shorter ones. Diameter matters to some extent, but not always. Shade tolerance indicates size and intensity of a prior disturbance, right? You have less tolerant shade tolerant trees than bigger disturbance. All right. So, John, we're getting to your answer. We're getting there. Now we're going to go through the forest that I saw, starting with the oldest trees, next is older trees, younger trees, and then youngest trees. Okay, we'll start with the stratum, canopy stratum or height. So the very tallest trees are, again, those big, fat sugar maples that I saw scattered throughout.
Yep.
All right. That's 80 feet and tall. Those are the oldest trees, no doubt. Okay, at the same height but smaller diameter are older trees. And they're red oak, smooth bark hickory, black cherry, aspen, and white pine. You have younger trees below that in the mid-canopy, growing from 5 to 50 feet. That's mostly sugar maple, red maple, white ash, black birch. And at the periphery of this is wild apple and a shrub layer, right?
Because you're walking a road.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense.
So, I don't know. So what do you think? You want to just go through it? We're running out of time, so we probably should just go through.
What I think happened?
Yeah.
Well, the biggest, oldest trees, they're sugar maple. It's likely you're standing in an old sugar bush or just possibly a farmer who cared for shading cows. It's a possibility. Shade trees in a pasture, or they were harvesting sugar maple or sugar. The farmer then, or whoever, abandoned that site. and there are these dispersed trees that was being maintained. The grass was overtaken by trees. The sunlight was available, so those shade probably could have been shade, totally shade intolerance came first. That's why you saw a few lingering aspen. Yeah. There's probably a lot more aspen and white birch at one time, but that was taken over by the intermediates. Those red oaks you saw that are now the upper part of the canopy, the hickories, and even some squiggling cherry you mentioned, but the cherry were squiggling because they're lower in the shade tolerance. They found some hole of sunlight to grow in their whole life.
Damn.
And then coming underneath that, underneath a totally shaded forest floor, is our shade tolerance coming back. Those big sugar maples are still casting seed. So now we have more sugar maple returning, and you fast forward that forest another 50 years. The oak, red oak, will maybe be lingering and remaining. Cherries are now gone, aspens are gone, and hickories are doing poorly.
Now say all that backwards. 10 times fast.
Yeah, no, I can't do that.
Yeah, I think so. So, all right. What I think is, I think that's about right. But I'll go over it again for redundancy because it's pretty confusing. It's got to be confusing. This is a difficult subject.
I had to focus hard to get that story straight.
Oh, absolutely, man. Your brain is tweaking. So, I think the oldest trees, those big fat sugar maples, yeah, was a 19th century sugar bush. Okay. Now, we have to remember that back then, I've heard from old timers say, oh, the sugar content used to be higher back in the 50s or whatever. But, you know, back then, they didn't have reverse osmosis things to, you know, distill the sap into higher sugar contents. They had to literally rely upon higher sugar contents merely from the trees. So what that means is they used to thin their sugar bushes back then so that they were spaced maybe 10 to 30 feet apart, maybe more. All right? So what that means is if you have a wolf-like sugar maple growing in full sunlight, it can be 3% sugar content. That's about, what is it, 33 to 1?
Right.
Actually, it's 27 to 1, I think.
Wow.
About 27 to 1.
Fast brain.
If it's 2.5%, I think it's 33 to 1. All right? That's pretty good. You know, 2% is what they say normal. That's not normal anymore because in the woods where it's being choked out, it's usually 50 to 1. Okay.
Right. Or more. I think this season a lot of people were complaining about 100 to 1.
Yeah. You're just not going to get that. So they used to thin their sugar bushes. So you already have a stand that's not that dense. Now, I think when the farmer gave up there in Shandaken, he had it logged off and cut out some of the sugar maple that were good saw logs. And because there were some trees that were never going to make a saw log because they were bushy, because it was a sugar bush, he left those. And those are the trees I'm looking at. And in some places, it was probably cut harder than others. And those places came up with your really shade-intolerant trees like black cherry and aspen. They grew up in. And at the same time, the areas that weren't cut as hard, red oak and hickory started growing. So you have your fruit and nut trees added with aspen and white pine, right? And that was maybe 80 years ago or more. Maybe even, 80 plus or minus years ago. So I would say 80 to 110 maybe. And those are beautiful saw log trees that are now choking out the original sugar bush. Then, underneath that, we have nothing going on for the last 80 years because, you know, that's just the state of affairs. No one has, for some reason, logged this forest at all. And there's a mid-story of only shade-tolerant trees growing of your black birch and your sugar maple. And those trees are probably like 40 years old or less. And then underneath that is just a bunch of little saplings growing. And to be honest with you, there probably wasn't many saplings. Why was I seeing saplings? Because I was walking on the road where there was sunlight.
Right.
As you go into the woods, there's nothing growing except for fern. You know? Now, the trees at the periphery was where the old homestead was. All right. There was one spot I was looking at, there was wild apple trees and stuff, and they probably seeded in from maybe the old apple trees that the farmer grew a long time ago. Sometimes you'll find lilac in these areas. I mean, they'll plant all sorts of stuff that were near the house. Myrtle, you know, stuff like that, ground covers. But now what happens is this is a typical forest in the Catskills because that mid-story of black birch and maple, That is a dense layer, that mid-story.
Sure.
That's what Mark Abrams from Penn State University, who we've had on, is calling the densification of the forest, of the northeastern forest. So that's, you know, there's these pole-sized trees just choking out everything. I can't prove it, but I think a lot of that, it's too dense, man. I think a lot of trees are more prone to insects and disease damage when you have that densification. There's been some articles in the Journal of Forestry from what I was reading that says those trees may be more, those forests might be more prone to insects and disease issues because of this densification of that mid-story going on. Oak and hickory, you know, their canopy are just not as dense as maple and beech and birch, and they let in more air circulation and sunlight, but who knows? In any case, management-wise, we only got a few minutes left. So now that we have learned, if nothing else, if you don't remember anything else, we have learned that height is a better indicator of diameter, right? So if I were to come into this forest and cut those beautiful fat red oaks of 80 foot tall and only cut the 16 inch to 20 inch to 22 inch red oaks, am I cutting the oldest red oaks, or am I cutting, are they all the same?
No.
What would I be doing?
You're going to be making money, and that's going to be it. You're going to set that forest up for a long time of failure, you know, in the future. Those best of the best red oaks are there now, and without any disturbance, because that's what we needed to grow them in the first place, they're not coming back. So cutting them out is just taking the best quality trees out of that forest with nothing to replace it.
Yeah.
That's equal to it.
This is why the Catskill Forest Association was created, actually, in 1982 to combat high grading, right? Selective cutting. When someone says selective cutting, you need to think, uh-oh.
Run.
Because what that usually means is they're just going to selectively take the very best trees. And this is bad for two reasons. One, they're not the younger trees. They might be the same age, just growing. The bigger ones are just growing really healthy and fast, and they're just of the best quality. Here's the second reason why, what some people might not think about. Usually a selective harvest doesn't let in enough sunlight so that only shade-tolerant vegetation will grow. Now, if you want shade tolerance only, that's fine. But if you want some things, remember, fruit and nut trees need more sunlight. There's not going to be enough cutting to go on to allow growing space for those fruit and nut trees to grow. So what ends up growing? Only maple, only beech, only black birch, maybe some yellow birch, and the ground cover is going to be pretty much invasives, ferns, stuff like that, interfering species, only things that deer don't like to eat. So that's where it's counterintuitive, where actually a larger cut might be more beneficial than a selective cut.
Right. Larger meaning not acreage-wise, but just density of cutting, harder cutting.
Yeah.
You can even do patches of those throughout, you know, a larger forest or even a smaller forest.
I mean, when we can explain this in your woods, it's easier. And this is kind of probably a more brainy academic from the forest will do. But I think we gave it a valiant try.
I think so.
I don't know.
All right. You want one more puzzle real quick for the listeners?
Yeah.
All right. Figure out what happened to this tree that I saw today. It's growing straight as an arrow, very tall, taller than all the other trees around it. It is growing currently in a horse pasture. Red oak, probably approaching 40 inches in diameter. There's trees around it. They're mostly sycamore, hickory, and that's about it. Was ash. Ash used to be there, but it's dead, and we sawed most of it up. Shorter than it, but still large, 20 plus inches in diameter. And those are bushy trees growing outwards.
What does the red oak look like again? The structure of the red oak.
Structure of the red oak is straight and as an arrow.
Straight as an arrow. Yeah, so it had to be grown in a forest once upon a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the conundrum is that forest, now we're in a horse pasture.
Yeah.
So that forest was cut. Why was this one red oak left when everything else was cut? It's the only one like it. And then it must have been abandoned because we grew all of these other trees that are now bushy, and now we're back to a pasture again that's manicured. Yeah, so it got cut twice. Huh. Very deep forest. Not even a forest, but very neat trees to walk through and identify and look at.
It sounds like you're looking at some farmer's sentimental tree from a long time ago.
It may have just been the big one back then and cut everything but that one.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the old farms you'll see, or even today, you'll see farmers leave one tree for shade. I mean, even down in New Paltz, they grow crops in this one place. Vegetables, and they left one tree, and I know the family, and he was like, we just want to do that, and I don't know, and it cost them money, that tree, because this tree is invaluable land, and they still left that one tree because they just wanted to look at it. I think it might be an elm. I forget.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, that's about all the time we have from the forest. Next week, I'm not sure what we're doing. I think third week.
Yes.
Yeah, we got Mr. Gary Mead probably coming on. And after that, I think we're going to have Spencer Bruce come on from SUNY Albany to talk about genetically proven native strains of brook trout that are so native that they're actually native to one hollow in the Catskills compared to all others. And we'll go into that.
Awesome. That's exciting.
All right. Have a good night.
Good night, everyone.
Oh, the neon lights were flashing and the icy wind did blow. The water seeped into his shoes and the drizzle turned to snow. His eyes were red, his hopes were dead, and the wine was running low. And the old man came home from the forest. His tears fell on the sidewalk as he stumbled in the street. A dozen faces stopped to stare, but no one stopped to speak. For his castle was a hallway, and the bottle was his friend. And the old man stumbled in from the forest. Up a dark and dingy staircase, the old man made his way. His ragged coat around him as upon his cot he lay. And he wondered how it happened that he ended up this way. Getting lost like a fool in the forest. And as he lay there sleeping, vision did appear. Upon his mantle shining the face of one so dear, who'd loved him in the springtime of a long forgotten year, when the wildflowers did bloom in the forest. She touched his grizzled fingers and she called him by his name. And then he heard the joyful sound of children at their games in an old house on a hillside in some forgotten town, where the river runs down from the forest. With a mighty roar, big jet soars above the canyon streets, and the con men con, but life goes on, for the city never sleeps. And to an old forgotten soldier